In today's gospel, all those who come to the stable see God's love made flesh. May we too come to and receive the gifts he wishes to give us in Christ. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius, the governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph, too, went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There is, in Glasgow, Scotland, a museum that's known as the Museum of Childhood. It contains all kinds of children's toys and games for the last couple of centuries. One room dedicated, for example, to children's scooters and bicycles. Another room dedicated to various games they played. Another room dedicated just to dolls. And in that room dedicated to dolls, there were some beautiful, beautiful dolls. Porcelain dolls, dressed in beautiful silk gowns. The dolls of privileged children. But in that room, that doll room, there is one little cabinet, kind of off in a corner by itself. And in it, there is only one doll. And the sign on it reads, "Doll of a London slum child around 1900. Now, you might know, many of you, that in Victorian England, 1800s through the early 1900s, London had some of the worst slums in Europe. What today is known as the East End of London was a horrible, horrible slum. So this doll came from a child who lived in that slum. And the doll is nothing but an old sock stuffed with rags. The arms are the twigs of some tree branches. The face is an old worn-out heel of a shoe. And on it, for the eyes and nose and mouth, are just pasted some pieces of paper. And the hair is some fallen-out strands from an old mop. When you look at that doll and compare it to all those other beautiful dolls, I'm sure there's some people who would say, that doll is ugly. Do you know what I think? I think that doll is beautiful. You know why it's beautiful? Because it was loved. It's beautiful because some little girl loved that doll to death. Some little girl probably had tea parties with that doll. Some little girl rocked that doll in her arms. Some little girl put that doll to bed every night, or maybe slept with it herself. That doll is beautiful as much as any of the others because that doll was loved. But I'd like to suggest to you tonight, my brothers and sisters, as we come here, that you and I are beautiful because we are loved by God. See, that's what this feast reminds us of. That God has loved us so much that he sent his son into the world to rescue us. We are beautiful because we are loved by God. And you can almost imagine for yourself the discussion that took place in the heavenly courts when the Father announces to all the angels that he's going to send the Son into the world. You can imagine the angels protesting, saying, but God, you know, if you send your Son into the world, lots of people won't care. They won't listen to him. They'll ignore him. They won't care. And the Father says, I know, but I love them. The angels say, but think about this. Think this through, God. You know, look at those people down there. Look at their track record up to now. It's one thing after another after another. Always their pride, always their greed. And God says, I know, but I love them. Then the angels have one last gasp. They say, but think about this, God. You've already sent them all the prophets. You've sent them all the prophets through the centuries. Look what they did to the prophets. God says, I know, but I love them. And so the Son, the Word of God, leapt into the world and became flesh to bring you and me God's love and make us beautiful because we are loved by God that way. I think sometimes when we think about God loving us, you know, we say God loves us, we don't make that personal enough. It's true God loves us, but do you believe God loves you? God came, the Son came for you, looking for you, searching you out, not just us, you. Because that's what this feast means. You know, under the city streets of Rome, and I'm sure you all know this, there were the catacombs, the old burial grounds of the Romans. And that's where the first Christians used to meet, hide away there so they could worship when they couldn't worship publicly. So in the catacombs, we find a lot of the first art of the church, the first Christian art. And in the catacomb of St. Domitilla, we're told it's probably the earliest drawing in Rome, probably dating from the year about 100 or a little later than 100. You know what the first drawing is on the wall of the catacomb of St. Domitilla? It's a young man with a sheep over his shoulders. The Good Shepherd. If that's the first drawing the Christians put there, imagine what that story Christ told must have meant to them. What did Christ tell us in that story? That every single sheep is important. That he would go searching for any single one that got lost. Every single one important to him. What's that mean? You and me important to him. He comes not looking just for us. He comes not just to love us. He comes to love you. You are beautiful because God loves you. Even if when you compare yourself to other dolls, so to speak, other humans, you don't think you look too good, God loves you. You're beautiful to him. That's what we celebrate tonight. Every one of us, important and beautiful to God, and Christ shows us that. I have a little story I'd share with you by way of conclusion that maybe illustrates what I'm trying to say. This is a true story told by a woman named Harriet Ritchie. She wrote it some years ago in one of those little Christmas magazines you see around from time to time. But in it, she tells the story of how one Christmas Eve, probably just about this time, she and her family, her husband and two children, went to an early service at their church. When the service was done, they were going to drive 2 hours to her parents' home where they'd spend the rest of the holiday, overnight and into Christmas. But they were hungry, so they decided that they'd get something to eat before they got on the road. But the only restaurant they could find open was the truck stop diner right where the highway came, you know, right at the highway entrance. So they go in into the truck stop diner on Christmas Eve. They walk in. It's kind of a dingy place, you know. It smells of bacon grease and cigarette smoke. There's a song playing on the jukebox, and the verse of it goes something like this. When you leave, walk out backwards so I'll think you're coming in. Few little tattered Christmas lights on the windows, few truckers over in the corner, one armed man standing at the counter. They take a table. Up comes this waitress, this kind of middle-aged, harried-looking waitress. Rita was her name. She says, "Here's some menus for you folks. I'll be back in a minute." So taking all this in, all of a sudden, in the door comes a bearded man with his wife who's carrying a baby. They sit down. Rita goes over to them. The baby starts to cry. Baby's wailing, screaming. Mother can't do anything with the baby. Rita says, "Let me take the little darling." Takes her. He says, "I've got plenty of practice with these little ones." So she takes the baby and she starts rocking it. She's walking around the room. She shows the baby the lights in the window. She shows the baby the jukebox lights. She brings the baby over to the truckers. One of the truckers starts making faces at the baby, you know, and whistling, and all of a sudden the baby goes quiet. Rita brings the baby over to Harriet, and she says, "Look at this little darling. Mine are so big now. Look at this little darling." So she brings the baby back to the man and the woman. All of a sudden, Harriet felt herself starting to cry. Her husband sees her and says, "What's wrong?" She says, "Well, I don't know. I guess it's just Christmas." And she takes out a quarter and she says to her two children, "Go to the jukebox and see if you can find a Christmas song." So they go. And she says, looks at her husband and she says, "You know," she said, "if he were born here, if he were born tonight, this is where he'd come, isn't it?" Her husband said, "Who?" She said, "Jesus. If he were born tonight and the choices were our neighborhood or our church or here, this is where he'd come, isn't it?" Her husband says, "Well, either here or the rescue center." And she says, "That's why I'm so, this is where he'd come, here. And I feel like I don't belong here." And her husband said, "Well, remember this. If he would come here first, it's to remind us that he comes for everybody, even those who seem most lost. If he comes here first, it's because he comes for each one of us. See, that's true, isn't it, huh? If you come here tonight not believing that you're important enough for Christ to come for you, you've misunderstood or have not yet understood well God's love and that you are beautiful because God loves you. So much, he sent for you his son. Sent his son for you. So it's in that joy, in that knowledge, in that hope that I say to you, have you accepted him? Have you received him? Will you let him do for you what he wants to do for you? Which is to give you God's own life and make you even more beautiful. And one day bring you home to heaven. You. That's why he comes. For you. And so in that spirit, I say to you, that's why we can say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christ Mass, where we celebrate his coming in love for us, which makes us beautiful. God bless you and a very Merry Christmas.